Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And so what should New Yorkers make of all this? It almost seems like there's a lot to feel but not much to say. The rage, the fear, the questioning of the assumptions in our lives that consumed us in 2001 are back. You can feel it on the subway, in talks with family and friends. Police presence has increased for now, but somehow that doesn't seem like the issue. Daily News columnist Lenore Skenazy, I think, got to the heart this morning of what a lot of New Yorkers are thinking and feeling today and may not have quite been able to articulate. She wrote, "Gonna miss that old misguided complacency. There was nothing nicer than the feeling of everything's fine that seeped into the New York psyche maybe a year after 9/11. The gray skies lifted, so did the heart. It was absolutely wonderful to stop waking up every day feeling scared and depressed and, worst of all, stupid for continuing to live in Al-Qaeda's crosshairs. Now all those feelings have come flooding back." Hi, Lenore.
Hi. You're making me depressed.
Yeah, right. But you know, I'll bet that was hard to write because you're confronting, even as you put it, a fear of a sense that you're stupid for even continuing to live in New York.
That's the worst feeling of all. I mean, when I heard about the attacks that morning and I was making my kids lunches for camp, I was thinking, like, what's the point? What's the point? You know, it just felt very bad, and I found myself feeling envious of my really best friend who's moving out of the city up to Suffern in August, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to leave the city, but I am a total wimp, and I've got kids, and so do you, and, you know, scared.
You don't want to live that close to Indian Point, do you?
Oh, that's good. Okay, I'll feel better.
Yeah, well, you know what? We don't have much time for this, but we can open up the phones for a few minutes for New Yorkers on how this resonates with you at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Lenore Skenazy. And yet it is amazing, Lenore, that after 9/11, people didn't flood away. In fact, if anything, they flooded in, as reflected in real estate prices.
I'm not hoping for any change in the real estate prices, even though I can't afford living here anymore. But It was either a collective decision not to worry or, I mean, that must have been it. I mean, everybody, and then, like, everybody felt good, and so everybody else felt good, and it was sort of, you know, we built on each other's denial, and it felt great. I mean, I have no problems with denial. I love that feeling, and I hate the self-doubt that comes with fear.
Jeff in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Do we have Jeff?
I had a comment. Which was specifically that yesterday New York City made a comment that there is no indication that New York is a target.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I assume that there was no indication that London was a target. So how much confidence can we place in these warnings if we can't even see who is or who is not a target? And speaking of which, if the United States cannot determine who is a target, who is not a target, maybe the United States is the wrong party to be heading the intelligence. Obviously, the Muslim community doesn't like us. They don't trust us. They don't want to deal with us. So maybe we're not the right one to be going out there
right,
and trying to get information.
Well, a couple of things I would say, Jeff. One, I would be cautious about saying the Muslim community. This particular radical jihadist community.
That in particular, yes.
Be honest, or I think accurate, about what officials say regarding both New York and London. It's that they assume that both cities are targets and that terrorist attacks will take place in both cities. There was just no specific intelligence of any plot against New York at this particular time or against London. Lenore, do you think I have that wrong?
No, I think you have that right, but I sure hate hearing those words spoken out loud, that there is no question that we are a target. I mean, I want to believe that there is a question, or that we are so well prepared and in such good hands that, you know, we're going to be safe no matter what.
Right. Well, the problem is, as the officials always say, you know, the defense has to be right 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm,
the terrorists
mm-hmm.
only have to be right once.
Mm-hmm. Right. One train.
Yeah. You know, that's the sad truth. They've broken up other plots in London
mm-hmm.
and in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Diana in Park Slope, you're on WNYC.
Okay, leaving aside the psychological stuff,
all that.
Okay, I'm there too. Since 9/11, Because I have a public health background and I'm sort of experienced in thinking, okay, what's the worst case scenario and what can we do about it? I've been trying to talk to people in some positions of authority about, well, what will we do if there's an incident in the subway? And I'm just stunned by how there's no planning, and I want to know if we can organize something better. For example, in the subways, they say the first, second, and third thing you should do is contact a representative of the train crew. Well, you can't do that. It's just actually impossible. And I was at Gracie Mansion, and I buttonholed somebody who was on the MTA board, mm-hmm. and, you know, I said, look, you've got zero planning on this. And he seemed to think that I had... It was like having an interesting theory about vitamins or something like that.
In fact, that's part of what Senators Clinton and Schumer were talking about today, that they want this federal money to be released to the rails.
There's that $500 million sitting there? That's incredible.
Sitting there. And some of it apparently is for just the kind of thing that Diane is talking about, mm-hmm. which is, you know, working on the easy evacuation systems, particularly from the subways. And it's, frankly, a lot easier to get out of the New York City subways than it is out of the London tubes, because the London tubes are so far more underground.
And a lot of them are older. What I was reading, one of them was from 1863. I mean, that's kind of amazing.
Could be. I didn't know. But there are these things that they want to do to, mm-hmm. you know, they want to
actual
have
things
better,
that we should just get started. I mean, it's
better
just,
lighting in the tunnels, things like that.
Right, right. And what's really upsetting is, you know, okay, now we've all been shaken up and woken up. But, you know, this all happened in 2001 for us, and we're still worrying about, gee, maybe we should get some lights in the subway, and wouldn't it be good if there was, like, a buzzer you could press if something happened? I mean, that's amazing to me.
Ron in Great Neck, you're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian, how are you?
Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, the first comment that I have to make is that the situation is horrendous, and it seems to be metastasizing.
Mm-hmm.
The second is I called up earlier, but I called again because I don't think it's a matter of denial from many people. I think it's a matter of amnesia. I think we have collectively, conveniently forgotten some of the root issues and causes that brought us denial
when we collectively decide to forget.
All right, we don't need to spend a lot of time quibbling about the definition of amnesia versus denial.
But go ahead and make your point.
Ron, go ahead and make your point.
I don't want to argue.
No, go ahead.
I do want to just help us recall that we had an opportunity in the world to get on top of the drugs trade 30 years ago, and we didn't. And that led us to global crime, and that led us to HIV and AIDS.
But have we ever really had an opportunity to get on top of the global drug trade, or is that just an impossible law enforcement task?
You're Brian Lehrer, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we met at the White House Conference for a Drug-Free America, 1988. And we had a plank in the ONDCP, our National Drug Control Policy and Program, to actually staunch the international narcotics trade. And we didn't do it. And we still are not doing it.
All right, Ron, I have to leave it there because time is fleeting. But Lenore, last thought, whether it's denial or amnesia, the Dow is up 90 points.
You're kidding. Wow, I will never understand it. You know what I didn't understand yesterday either? If you logged on to any website, it has, you know, the first two stories, blasts rock London, and the second story was markets react. And I'm always thinking, why do I care about the markets? It's just always strange to me about the money angle on things like this.
Daily News columnist Lenore. Well, you know what? The money angle is actually important because I think that the jihadists are out after our economic centers, and they want to economically bleed us to death.
Oh, I see. So if the Dow is up, maybe that's cause for cheer.
Or denial. Or back
the
into
thing.
The world of fear is the headline of Lenore Scanese's column in the Daily News today. Thanks a lot, Lenore.
Thanks, Brian. Bye-bye.